Hi everyone, welcome to the 2019 JANI Healthcare Conference. My name is Casey Woodring and I'm a research associate on the Life Science Tools team here at JANI. Here with us today is ChemBio Diagnostics' CEO, John Spierzel. So without further ado.
Thanks, Casey. Appreciate it. Good afternoon, everyone. So first I'm going to start with our obligatory safe harbor statement. We're a public company traded on NASDAQ under the symbol CEMI. ChemBio Diagnostics, what we do is we deliver high quality diagnostic tests that use a small drop of blood from the fingertip and provide results in approximately 15 minutes. When combined with an analyzer that we recently acquired, we can provide quantitative results, which is important in many settings. Our patented platform, which we refer to and brand as DPP, has three important product features that are necessary for success in a point-of-care testing environment. That is, that it's simple or easy to use, that it's fast, in our case we provide results in approximately 15 minutes, and that it's reliable, which can be defined many ways, but in our case, our tests, many of them are approved by the FDA, CLIA waived, and approved by regulators around the world. But the real uniqueness in the platform is threefold. First, because of its patented design, we can provide enhanced sensitivity and specificity when compared to a basic lateral flow test. Second, because of its design, we can multiplex in an advanced fashion. In fact, testing for up to 8 different diseases or pathogens with a single drop of blood. And finally, as I mentioned, when paired with our recently acquired optical analyzer, we can provide quantitative results. You can see on the right-hand side of the slide our sensitivity and specificity in our HIV test per our FDA clinical trials was, in our DPP platform, 99.8% sensitive and 100% specific. I mentioned the optical analyzer that we acquired. The company was previously called Optricon. It's now operating in Berlin as our center of excellence for optical technology as ChemBio Diagnostics Germany. The analyzer does what a typical analyzer should do in a point of care environment, which is to capture data, store data, transmit data. We have already introduced fluorescence sensing technology into the platform. We're evolving the form factor of the platform, which will be completed by year end, into the new form factor that you can see on the right-hand side of this slide. By introducing fluorescence sensing technology, we can now think about applying biomarkers to our platform that we wouldn't have been able to apply in a visual interpretation mode. So this analyzer is strategically important for the tests that we have in our pipeline and those that we will commercialize in the future. We envision a razor blade model as we go forward. From a market standpoint, today we're competing in the lateral flow testing market, which is about $5.5 billion in annual revenue. It's growing at just over an 8% CAGR. Specifically, we're focused on infectious disease, which at $1.4 billion is the largest component of the overall lateral flow testing market, and it's growing at just north of a 10% compound growth rate. Within infectious disease, we're focused on sexually transmitted infectious diseases, mosquito-borne diseases, and recently we have entered into the hepatitis field with an antibody-based hepatitis test. Of course, growth drivers in this market include a high prevalence of infectious diseases on a global basis, increased geriatric population, growing demand for rapid diagnostic tests as it compared to centralized laboratory tests that work from a venous sample, and finally, multiplexing advances because of co-infection and the need to discreetly detect various infections. From a lateral flow infectious disease market standpoint, with focus on sexually transmitted and fever and tropical diseases, first, we have a very strong position in the HIV market. HIV has claimed more than 35 million lives to date, including 940,000 in the most recently reported year, 2017. Syphilis, there's an estimated 18 million prevalent cases and nearly 6 million new infections annually. Why do we talk about HIV and syphilis on the same slide? There's a growing concern about co-infection in certain subgroups. For men who have sex with men, co-infection has been measured as high as 70%. There's a global effort underway to eliminate mother-to-child transmission of both HIV and syphilis. And because we're able to multiplex, talking about these two, and in fact testing for these two diseases at the same time, is a particular strength that the company has and one in which we're going to leverage. In terms of fever and tropical diseases, dengue, there are nearly 390 million cases annually, and 3.9 billion people globally are at risk to contract dengue fever. Dengue is transmitted by the Aedes aegypti mosquito, which also happens to transmit yellow fever, Zika, and chikungunya, which are a little bit more episodic in nature. Malaria, on the other hand, where we've developed a test that's up to 30 times more sensitive than the most widely used malaria test, has approximately 216 million annual infections and causes nearly 500,000 deaths on an annual basis. So we have a technology platform that already has a very strong presence in sexually transmitted infectious diseases, one that we're going to leverage into syphilis testing in a multiplex format, and one that has tremendous application in fever and tropical, and in particular, mosquito-borne diseases. We have three corporate priorities that we're pursuing in 2019. Expanding our commercialization, which translates to selling more, advancing our R&D pipeline, and preparing for additional growth. So I'm going to touch on each of these for a moment. In terms of expanding our commercialization, we have a number of growth drivers, but we're pretty focused on two things. One is going deeper from a commercial standpoint in geographies where we are historically strong. That is the United States, Brazil, Europe, and Africa. And then second, broadening our geographic footprint regionally. That means selling more broadly throughout Latin America. It means selling broadly throughout Southeast Asia as we continue to penetrate more deeply in our areas of strength. From a commercial presence standpoint, we now have a direct sales force in the United States. We have sales executives in Latin America, in Africa, in Southeast Asia, and in Europe. So we continue to build our direct commercial presence, and we also leverage that by selling through experienced local distributors where that makes sense from a commercial perspective. We have a number of products that we sell geographically. We continue to expand that product offering. Today, our commercial products are all within the infectious disease area, something that we also expect to expand as we go forward, and we'll talk about that when we get to our product pipeline. But from a regulatory standpoint, we are seeking approvals by the Food and Drug Administration in the United States, CE Mark, which covers Europe, WHO, which covers Africa, Brazil, which is Anvisa, Mexico, which is COFEPRIS, and then literally country by country. So when we think about regulatory approvals, we're thinking about this and pursuing it on a global basis for many of our products. We have an HIV syphilis test in front of the Food and Drug Administration. We believe that we will be the first company that offers a rapid test for the detection of both HIV and syphilis on a single platform. We anticipate getting this regulatory approval by the end of 2019, and we will subsequently file for CLIA waiver application. We believe this is going to be a needle mover in terms of our ability to capture meaningful market share in the United States market. Second, in terms of corporate priorities, advancing our R&D pipeline. We are a technology company. We are leveraging a proven patented technology platform into more broadly infectious disease, but also in several other areas through collaborations. In terms of infectious disease pipeline, we have our HIV syphilis test. We have individual tests for dengue, Zika, and chikungunya. We have a multiplex test that with a single drop of blood can discreetly detect and simultaneously detect dengue, Zika, and chikungunya. We have a malaria test, Ebola test, and two 8-plex fever panels, one for Asia and one for Africa. All of these tests have passed through development, with the exception of the fever panel for Asia, because it started a little bit later. Many of them have moved through phase three, which is verification validation, into phase four clinical and regulatory, and onto getting our first regulatory approvals. So we believe that Exiting 2019 and into 2020, HIV syphilis in the United States can pass the goal line, as well as some combination of our mosquito-borne disease tests for Zika, dengue, and chikungunya, either individually or in a multiplex format, and start to contribute revenue as early as 2020. We're leveraging our DPP platform through collaborators. In many cases, this is based purely on inbound interest, and that will allow us to expand into new markets, concussion testing, cancer diagnostics, potentially veterinary. We're broadening our application from point-of-care diagnostic testing to companion or compatible diagnostics. We're going to spend a minute on these in a second. This allows us to very cost-effectively leverage our platform from an R&D perspective with fully funded product development through our collaborators. And so on this next slide, we're going to look at five different collaborations that we have ongoing that are completely funded by our partners, which provide tremendous market potential and opportunity for Chembio. We have a collaboration with AstraZeneca to develop a rapid diagnostic test for eosinophilic respiratory disease. In 12 months, we completed the development and we got our first regulatory approval. And we're working with AstraZeneca, as I said on a recent call, to define the de novo pathway with the Food and Drug Administration. We recently announced a collaboration with Takeda Pharmaceuticals to develop a companion diagnostic test for one of their applications. We believe over time that we can go even deeper with both AstraZeneca and Takeda to develop other tests, and we're also in discussion with other pharmaceutical companies to build a compatible or companion diagnostic vertical, which will give additional growth beyond our infectious disease business. We believe we're well positioned here given the versatility of the platform, the cost effectiveness of it, and the ability to detect biomarkers because of the innate nature of the platform, but also combined with the analyzer that we recently acquired. We have a collaboration with Perseus Science to develop a rapid diagnostic test for concussion or mild traumatic brain injury. And we have a test for a specific type of cancer that we're developing along with an undisclosed diagnostic company. The one collaboration that's on this slide that does not utilize our DPP technology platform is with Lumira DX. In this case, Lumira DX has outsourced the R&D for their entire infectious disease portfolio to Chembio. So we are either taking biologicals that we already have or have the know-how to develop and applying them to the Lumira DX microfluidic platform. We're being paid to develop those tests. We're going to sell them, the biologicals, and then we'll receive a single-digit royalty payment on any sales that come out of those products that we've developed along with Lumira. So you can see this gives us an opportunity to really leverage the platform and build additional verticals, which create great revenue opportunities and margin opportunities for the company. Why are people coming to us? In many cases, and this is the case with some of our pharmaceutical partners, they've tried to develop these tests on a basic lateral flow test. And they bumped into the things that are actually the strengths of our platform. They couldn't multiplex. They couldn't get a low enough level of detection. And these things we can do with our platform. Also, we have a successful track record developing these tests through a collaboration, whether it's with diagnostic companies, pharma companies, non-governmental organizations, or philanthropical organizations. And then finally, none of this matters unless we can get regulatory approvals and commercialize the tests. And we have a successful and extensive track record with major regulatory agencies around the world. Finally, in terms of preparing for growth, there are two really important initiatives that we're pursuing. In 2018, we produced approximately 20 million tests, and we assembled those manually. And so we've crossed that threshold as to when a company needs to automate its production. And we're in the midst of that. So we have our first automated manufacturing line that is operational in our facility. We have a second line and a third line that will be delivered this year. The second line will be operational by the end of this year. The third line will be operational by the end of Q1 2020. These lines allow us to very efficiently scale this business while maintaining the high quality that our customers expect. These are fully automated robotic systems with vision-guided camera systems within each system. They They cost approximately $1 million a piece. So the company has made a $3 million investment to transform from a manual assembly process to a highly automated assembly process. And it's going very well. We did a look back on what this automation investment can do for our product gross margins, looking at 2018 volume, keeping constant the mix of products, the geographic mix, the average selling price. And had we been fully automated in 2018, we would have doubled our product gross margins. So that's a meaningful impact on the business on a long-term basis. And then finally, we are consolidating, expanding, and improving our facilities. Historically, the company worked in 5 different buildings, small ones on Long Island, 4 in a cluster, 1 about 10 miles away. And we're in the midst of consolidating to a single state-of-the-art 70,000 square foot facility. Phase 1 is complete of that transition. That means the front office folks, sales, marketing, finance, administration are in the building, as well as warehouse, shipping, and distribution. We're going to go into phase 2, which is to move our R&D team into that building by the end of this year. We're building the R&D labs the back half of this year, and we'll move manufacturing in by the middle of 2020, by the end of June. So 1 year from today, we will be in a state-of-the-art facility, highly automated. From a Q2 financial perspective, revenue for the quarter was $9.6 million compared to $8.7 million in the prior year period. Product gross margin, 21.1% compared to 13% in the prior year period. As I mentioned, we have the potential to double those product gross margins with the impact of automation. Operating expense, $6.2 million compared to $4.5 million. We finished with $4.5 million in cash on the balance sheet. Last week, we closed a term loan with Perceptive Advisors of $20 million. It has a 4-year term, 3 years interest only, cash covenants of $3 million in cash, and revenue covenants, which range from $32 million at the end of this quarter to $54 million in the middle of 2023. Keep in mind, we've set a financial revenue target of $100 million in revenue by the end of 2023. So we think that those covenants are fair, reasonable, and achievable. Just to summarize in terms of investment highlights, we have 5-year targets of $100 million in revenue and 50% gross margin by the end of 2023. We have a proprietary platform in DPP with broad diagnostic applications, provides enhanced sensitivity and specificity, advanced multiplexing and quantitative results. We have a growing infectious disease core business. It grew 39% last year, and it had grown just about 34% the prior year. Ongoing initiatives to broaden our sales channels, further penetrate existing markets, and expand into new territories. We have a broad R&D pipeline in infectious disease. We're expanding into new markets via collaborations. We believe over time we can build a vertical to go alongside, or verticals to go alongside of our infectious disease vertical in companion or compatible diagnostics, biothreats, and working with the U.S. government, and certain neurological areas starting with concussion. And then finally, we have operational initiatives underway to automate our U.S. manufacturing, expand and improve our facilities, reduce variable costs, and drive margin expansion. So with that, I'll open it up for any questions. Yes?
Well, lateral flow has been around for a long time, and you're using lateral flow in the blood area, but there are 2 other fluids that have been widely used for lateral flow, namely saliva and urine. Do you have any interest in those markets?
Sure. So first of all, totally agree. Basic lateral flow technology is a well-proven technology platform, and we're actually using what we would call a next generation of lateral flow testing. We have an oral fluid HIV test that is approved under PMA by the Food and Drug Administration. It's also CLIA waived. So we've demonstrated the ability to not only use saliva to get great results on an HIV test, it's FDA approved and it's CLIA waived. The platform is very versatile. It has the ability to use saliva, it has the ability to use urine, and many other potential clinical specimens.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Uh,
Hi. How does the sensitivity and specificity compare to the current standard of care? And then maybe if you want to talk about the competitive landscape, if there's any other tests in any of the infectious diseases that would compete with Chembio's DPP technology.
Today, most of our revenue is generated in the area of HIV. I mentioned before the sensitivity and specificity on our DPP platform. We have two other types of HIV tests that we sell, one on a basic lateral flow test and one on a very unique test that we believe will be very successful in HIV self-testing. They all meet the standards of performance for US FDA approved HIV tests. So when it comes to competitors in that space, we compete against Abbott, formerly Alere. We compete against OraSure, Trinity Biotech, and Biolytical. All of their products meet the standard of performance to achieve FDA approval. They're excellent competitors, and we all compete based on various features and benefits of our product. We believe that multiplexing, particularly HIV syphilis in the United States, is an area where we will be highly differentiated because of the growing concern about co-infection. We believe that's an area where we can really own that particular market and move meaningful market share toward the company. Outside of the United States, we deal with a number of different competitors, many of them competing solely on price because they can't meet the performance standards of the United States, which is really what our core technology is all about.
Can you give us some more color on the companion diagnostic opportunity? What sort of feedback you've gotten from pharma companies? I know you just signed that Takeda contract. Maybe if you can speak towards that a little bit.
First of all, I think it's fair to say we're pretty excited to be working with companies like AstraZeneca and Takeda Pharma. They're two major pharmaceutical companies. I've spent my entire career in diagnostics with some of the best diagnostic companies and biggest in the world, and fair to say that any of them would roll out the red carpet if AstraZeneca or Takeda asked them if they would develop a test that might be used in a compatible or companion diagnostic setting. So we're super excited about that. There are some limitations on what we're able to say at this point. What we can say about AstraZeneca is it is a test for eosinophilic respiratory disease. AstraZeneca has said that they also believe there are a number of different compounds that particular diagnostic test could work for. With Takeda, we're developing a companion diagnostic test. We're not at liberty to say what that test will be used for, but I think you all know enough about pharmaceutical testing and diagnostic testing. Some of the potential around the opportunity really is driven by intended use. Will the test be used for diagnosis, or will the test be used for monitoring, or potentially both? If you have to test a lot of people to find a small incidence of disease, while from a pharma standpoint, that may seem like a limited opportunity, from a diagnostic standpoint, that's a huge opportunity. On the other hand, if you have to monitor the effects of a drug, from a diagnostic perspective, generally you're talking about many more than one test per patient. So we believe that this vertical in companion or compatible diagnostics could be significant for the company over time because we've got a really versatile platform. It's very cost effective. And because of we have this analyzer now, we can look at biomarkers that we never would have been able to look at in a visual interpretation only mode. And it's attracted the pharmaceutical companies to us. We didn't go to Takeda. We didn't go to AstraZeneca. They came to us. Now we're going to turn that around and start to play offense. We've hired someone as Vice President of Corporate Development that spent the last 8 years of her career at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And this is what she did in that role was apply funding to diagnostic companies for certain applications. So she has a great network and we think she'll be really helpful in taking what has been a really successful early, albeit process with pharma companies and turn it around to something where we proactively go out and either seek other opportunities within AstraZeneca or Takeda, or potentially bring in one or two other pharma companies. There's a limit to how many we want to work with. We want to stay focused. We want to be successful getting these over the goal line.
I'll go again. In the past, you've alluded to Brazil as a big opportunity. Recently, you've had a few approvals and visa there. And had another large competitor sort of back out of the market. Can you sort of talk about the opportunity that Brazil presents and what you guys are doing to drive market share there?
Happy to do that. I think maybe just 15 seconds on Brazil. It's the ninth largest economy by GDP. It's, I believe, the sixth largest country in terms of population. So while many people have never been to Brazil, and while many people get nervous about Brazil because of the real compared to the dollar, in terms of infectious disease, it may have the largest incidence, both in sexually transmitted disease and infectious disease, when you combine them. So while some people would say, are you concerned that a third of your sales are in Brazil, I take it as a positive. We can even have a stronger business in Brazil because of our products and because of the incidence of both sexually transmitted and mosquito-borne diseases. So we're going to continue to build our business in Brazil. We have a very strong channel with the federal government in Brazil. They are actually our customer. We've had a technology partnership with the government in Brazil for approximately 15 years. There's now an opportunity because a prior supplier for tests like Zika, dengue, and chikungunya is under what effectively amounts to a consent decree. They can't sell the product. The product is out in the consumer's hands, can't be used, and they can't manufacture the product. And Visa has put them on a hold. And so we believe we're very well positioned. Our tests performed incredibly well. Both our multiplex test and our dengue, Zika, and chikungunya tests individually. We have Anvisa approval for all of them, and we're negotiating to get that business. We've characterized it as potentially up to $10 million on an annual basis. We think we're really well positioned for that.
Gotcha. Just my last one here. Your first core goal is to expand commercialization. Does that mean adding salespeople in the near term? What's sort of your strategy there moving forward?
We've taken a pretty measured approach to the investment in salespeople. It wasn't until 2015 that ChemBio hired its first commercial person, which might seem a little bit shocking, but the company was following a different model previously. So at about that time, we built a small U.S. sales team. Early in 2017, we built a small international team. We now have people in the United States, Latin America, Africa, Europe, Southeast Asia. And as we get products over the goal line and we're close to commercialization, we will systematically add people in important markets. What we're not going to do is make an investment in people hoping that we get regulatory approvals. It's quite easy to ramp up the sales team. It's really easy when you have great products that people are excited about, and so we look forward to doing that. Thank you very much. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, John.